Before we dive into this podcast, we want to introduce you to our sponsor, TaylorMade. Established in 2008, TaylorMade is a family-owned and run business built on traditional values of trust, honesty, and integrity. When you visit TaylorMade's showroom, you'll experience firsthand their commitment to these values through their honest pricing with no hidden fees and service with a genuine smile. Each tile specialist is knowledgeable in all areas from features and benefits to measuring and layout, ensuring you receive the best advice and service possible. TaylorMade's vision is to become one of the largest and most successful tile manufacturers of high-end quality products, with a stylish and exclusive range of products distributed worldwide to both wholesale and retail markets. Their mission is to manufacture high-quality tiles and surpass expectations by offering competitive prices through an ongoing commitment to customer satisfaction and dedication to continuous improvement. We're proud to have TaylorMade as our sponsor and invite you to visit their showroom in Coorparoo or check out their products online at taylormade.com.au.
Hello and welcome back to the Supercoach Champions podcast. You're here with Catfish as always. I'm joined by the reigning champion. He's still reigning. He'll keep reigning until it's round 27 this year. Round 27 locks out and officially someone else takes the mantle from him. It is Matt White. What a week of Supercoach, firstly. And how are we still here? Why do we do this to ourselves?
Yeah, it's a bit like that, isn't it? They dragged the pain out all the way till Monday this week. And although just a quick shout out, thank you to the NRL for going 27 rounds. It does give me two more rounds as a reigning champ because it's definitely not happening again. But
yeah. Look, you had a good week last week though. I think what 14-01. So yourself climbed the ranks and you actually overtook me because I had a shocker. I more than doubled my rank in one round, so that's not fun. I've only 1167 for me, dropped all the way down to the 3000s, which is annoying. I was trending in the right direction, but yeah, all it takes is one bad round, and yeah, you're 10 points ahead of me now.
Yeah, one bad round, one missed trade, and it makes you never want to open the Supercoach app again. But there must have been some huge scores this week because I'm just looking down. My round rank was only 13,000. With 14-01, like that's insane.
It's absolutely insane. And I think the weekly winner was somewhere in the 1755 or thereabouts. So just a monster round. They're coming 151st now. So, you know, literally all it takes is one big round and you're rocking up those rankings there. Joe Fitz still hanging around there, 1279. So not great for him. He's down to 532 overall. Timmy Moody, he had 1196, so sitting around 2K. And Guy, who's he did this really weird thing. He managed to literally score the same score last round as the round before. So 1252 both weeks, but he's still hanging around at 490th overall. But we've got some movement in the $500 champs only bonus leader. We have Sam, coach of Knight Riders, who's now pacing the champs at 137th overall. So Team X has unfortunately peaked too early, it seems, and really struggling to hang around at the top there. So sliding backwards there. But a quick shout out to two leagues in the top 20. So Champions 1 in 17th and Champions 20 head-to-head 2 league in 19th overall. The Podmasters Cup, that's last year's top 20 team overall league, sitting in 8th this year. So still thereabouts and a chance to maybe climb back and reclaim the overall prize there. But anyway, that's enough of that. Let's jump straight into the news for this week. Of course, it is round 16. It's the second big buy round and obviously leading up to game 2 of the State of Origin series. And I mean, look, let's talk to teams real quick. Obviously, you know, it doesn't really impact us for Supercoach in terms of scoring points for us this round, but it obviously has big ramifications for us. Now, I think we were expecting a fairly similar team for Queensland, barring obviously injuries there. So, yeah, I mean, from your perspective, Matt, what are your thoughts? Are you surprised, unhappy?
I'm definitely not surprised with Billy's team. I think I like it. Game one just showed exactly how good it is to be a Queenslander, and I really think I couldn't support New South Wales, and I feel sorry almost for those guys. Like, they consistently line up with these gun teams and wake up on a Thursday morning feeling gutted. But I thought maybe it was a chance to slide Dane Gagai back in with Cobbo going down, but it's interesting he's gone with Coates. I think Nanai over Kafusi, look, I may have gone in a different direction because I'm a huge Kafusi guy, but look, I think Billy's got the runs on the board. I don't know if you wanted me to jump straight into the New South Wales team, but I actually can't hold it before I throw it back to you. I think this could be Freddie's last season. Like, what on earth is he doing? Ah, we may look like idiots in 10 days' time or 12 days, whatever it is, but that is a disgusting team.
Look, I think a lot of people echoing those sentiments. And let's have the Queensland team for now. I think I'm pretty similar to you as well. I mean, I get why Coates might be there because he's got that existing combination with, you know, Harry and Munster and all that. But yeah, look, give me Dane Gagai anytime, especially on the wing. Like, I still think he's one of the best wingers at rep level that we've got. And, you know, I mean, sure, defensively, we've talked about this in the past. That's been his biggest struggle. Doesn't matter on the wing, you know. He does his job real well there. And just the work rate he has at Origin level is just insane. So yeah, I'm a little bit upset about that. But you're right, you know, who are we to question Billy? Like, he's got the runs on the board already. Everything he's done so far, he hasn't put a foot wrong. So hard to fault for sure. Look, without getting too into the Blues team, I mean, yeah, look, there's a lot of questionable selections from our, you know, from our perspective, sitting in our armchairs and all of that. But let's face it, you know, I'm hearing plenty of Blues fans just screaming for Freddie's head already. look, they still have such a talented team, right? The level of talent that the Blues have is just off the charts. It's just we don't always see it come together. I do like Moses, actually. I like Moses over Nico as a selection. I just think Moses is in really good form. Nico, look, he is, you know, the reigning Dally M champ, but I think the thing for me is Nico hasn't shown the ability to, you know, lead a team to beat a good team, really. Like, the Sharks have, it's 2 years now. Like, he's obviously been their halfback for the last two, well, this season and last, and they just don't beat top eight teams. And I'm not saying that that's all on him, because the Sharks, you know, there's some holes in their roster and you can look their injuries and stuff like that as well. But definitely, I think there's question marks about his ability to game manage, you know, kick his team out of trouble when their pack's getting monstered. And I just think with Origin, you need to have an elite kicking game. And right now, Moses might be that guy. Like, he might even have a better kicking game than Nathan Cleary right now. So I honestly don't mind it. Look, he's been criticized in the past for not stepping up in big games, but I kind of feel like that's like a reputation he developed much earlier in his career. And I think it's a little bit harsh. I do think Moses is, you know, form-wise, I think he's the better pick. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that actually looks on Origin night. Any last thoughts there? Or
there's so many last thoughts. That, how Hudson Young kept his jersey, I think he'd want to count his lucky stars. Reece Robson, look, he screams built for Origin. I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if they start Reece Robson just for the first 20 minutes of Bash and Crash. And Cook seems like a better pick for the last 55 minutes fresh, and worst-case scenario, throw Robson back to play lock or something like that. Stefano? Like, who? So I was actually playing golf with my dad this afternoon, and I mentioned because obviously not being a Supercoach guy, he didn't know who Stefano was. If you don't play Supercoach, I feel like you don't know who Stefano is.
That's a pretty good point, actually. I do think sometimes we get so caught up. Like, he's obviously a household name for Supercoach purposes because so many people started with him and all that, but yeah, to the more casual NRL fan, yeah, they may not know his name. So that's a fair shout. Look, I don't get it either. You know, Regan Campbell-Gillard, he's only been back for one game, but I would pick him, you know, off one game over Stefano. There's other guys like, I mean, you know, what does Dave Clemmer have to do? He's playing better than Stefano in the same team, you know, like, yeah. Anyway, that's Freddie. And as you say, look, if this doesn't pay off for him, then it's his head that'll be you know, rolling, figuratively speaking, obviously. look, not a lot news-wise, but I did think, and let's talk about it a little bit, because Greg Marju obviously dropped. It's come out that it's for disciplinary reasons, and the reason is he missed a team bus last week. So I find it interesting he's been dropped for the following week, as opposed to, you know, I would have thought a lot of other teams might have looked at just fining him, you know, imposing some sort of club penalty rather than punishing the club. Because I think we can see for now, like, the Knights are a better team with Marju in there and starting their sets off and doing a lot of yardage work. So, yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, a fine makes more sense, right? Don't punish the fans and his teammates for his poor discipline. Punish him and keep that sort of behind closed doors. Not, yeah, I don't agree with the dropping.
And I'm not saying that just because I'm a jaded, new, fresh Marju owner that only picked him up last week. But anyway, we will come to that. But look, let's dive into the injuries for the week.
What's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a football injury before, you wimps? Let's go.
All right, so obviously big news. Let's start off with the Tigers. So Api Korosau broke his jaw in two spots, gone for surgery. He's going to be out for 6 weeks minimum, if not longer. So it's not great. Luke Brooks also, you know, was running full sprint, trying to, you know, make a cover tackle basically, or chasing someone down. I can't remember who got away from him, but yeah, classic sniper kind of situation where he's just suddenly grabbed his hammy. So not great. They're looking at 6 weeks for him as well. I think that's pretty concerning for the Tigers, yeah?
Yeah, as silly as it sounds, they were both looking really good, and they were looking good together. Appy was really conducting the middle third, and Brooksy was showing what he could do on the edges. But, maybe it's back to square one or even behind square one for the Tigers now.
Well, obviously a lot of us have Dream Buller, and we've been loving that. We've been living a dream. And, you know, there's some concerns now for him, right? You know, it's a lot different when you're playing off the back of, you know, Appy controlling things through the middle, and obviously Brooks in a bit of a nice purple patch form-wise to make stuff happen as well. And then, yeah, all of a sudden you've got Jake Simpkin and Brendan Wakeham pulling the strings with Stafatoa at 5'8". It's a significant downgrade, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a couple of clubs in Western Sydney that are running out some interesting spine combinations this week, the Tigers being one of them. Well, yeah, I don't think Stafatoa would have been in anyone's 5'8 start in the year.
Definitely didn't see that one coming, but yeah, we'll come to that when we get to the team list later. So Sean Johnson did go off the field for a HIA, potentially also may have broken his nose, but he passed his HIA, returned to the field just in time to snag that, and scored the try and obviously kicked the goal on top of that. So nice little bit of literal junk time points there for SJ owners. But yeah, look, we saw him afterwards where he had the two, you know, cotton swabs up the nose. You know, he's got the week off, and I dare say there's not going to be any concerns about him missing time. Renko Lee did go down mid-game again with his ankle issue, yet another lower leg problem. And obviously that helped balance Defare, Van Meninga, or apparently Valance the House, as you may have heard. That is what is Defare apparently means. It's the house, which I think is a pretty cool nickname in itself. So I know I get the Val Meninga reference, but Val the House. The house, I mean, we could go anywhere. There's so many good names that you can build from that.
It is, right. And it's not, Meninga's done his thing, so let's not bring him into it. I think he can start his own nickname. I like that better.
Yeah, let's just call him the house from now on. Anyway, yeah, so there might be a more minutes on offer for him moving forward or whatever. But, yeah, interesting to see him obviously named to start at lock, but he was just playing center, so false alarm there. Jeremy Marshall-King unfortunately aggravated his AC joint sprain. So, you know, he went down this game, basically just a pain tolerance issue. But when you cop a knock like he did, it certainly can see him coming off. So, you know, he does have the bye. So hopefully the 2-week break will help. But there is some concern, I think, moving forward. If you want more info, definitely check out Magic Sponge podcast with the NRL physio. He talks about it more in depth. But yeah, something to keep an eye on for if you do have Marshall King already, or if you're looking at him. Just maybe give him another week or two if you don't have him in your team before you consider it. Obviously, with Cody Walker, you know, all the buzz was looking at, you know, whether he was going to play last week. He did have that quad strain, and it definitely appears to be a minor one. He was apparently ruled fit to play if he was selected for Origin, but he wasn't going to be able to train yet. So obviously not selected, and there should be no concern for him to play in round 17, which is good news for those who've obviously got them in their on their rosters and obviously have held them. As you mentioned before, Selwyn Cobber did aggravate his hip pointer issue, so he's missing Origin, but I dare say he should be right for the Broncos in round 17. Tyson Frizzell did go off with a bit of a neck concern, but it seems like he should be fine. Obviously, named for Origin and, you know, not playing for the Knights this round. Without getting into too much drama, Liam Martin, well, apparently he has been diagnosed as having a concussion now. The messaging is rather confusing these days, but let's not go into that anymore. I already had my rant last week, so yeah. And then Moses Leota also went up for a HIA, so he was seen to have exhibited Category 2 symptoms, so should be no issues for him to play this round. Zach Hosking was a bit of a shock resting. It's been confirmed it was just a resting, not an injury or anything like that, so named to start this week, and thank goodness, because I've waited for him to play this round for my team for quite some time. Billy Smith was another late withdrawal last round. Turns out he copped a sternum injury at training, so he's been named, but definitely have to monitor that one. And I think, yeah, you know, you might want him to play this one game, and then he needs to go ASAP, because it's never a good time when the injuries start mounting for poor Billy, because he's had a bit of a rough trot. Alisa Katoa, another dagger to my Supercoach team, with firstly going down with a score of 12. So he went off for a HIA, but also he copped a cut under his eye. So if it was just a cut, apparently he should be fine. But the problem is he experienced blurred vision and like double vision, I think was the word. So there may have actually been an injury to his eye. So even though there's no fractures, no cut, like, yeah, nothing serious for the cut, it seems like he's been given a bit of time off just to rest up and make sure his vision returns to normal, it seems. So bit of an unknown on what's going on there, which is frustrating, especially when you're like me and you traded him just for this round. But anyway, is he in your team as well?
He sure is. He sure is. And he'd be a very important number this week, especially against the Tigers, right? You'd like to think. The Storm could put on some serious points against them. Jerome Hughes is there. Lee Katoa running lines off him on the right-hand side, but no.
Is he a trade-out for you, or are you going to persevere? Or
he's not. He's not. I'm sort of running skinny on trades. I'm not sure where the last 10 of them have gone. And I know the Storm have quite a good draw towards the back end. I like – he looks good. He's averaging – still averaging sort of in the very high 50s, even with a 12 last week, and I think he's got another low score in there somewhere. So, yeah, no, he's a hold for me.
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn because obviously I'm trying to juggle all sorts of buy planning. I mean, for yourself, you're looking a little bit further ahead for the finals. So, yeah, I'm unsure. I have not decided yet. Royce Hunt suffered a high ankle sprain. He's gone for 6 weeks. I think he might have gone for surgery, so out for a little bit. Now, Ramus Smith did leave the field for a minor hamstring issue, but he's been named, so I think he should be good to go. And for those who weren't sure, so we removed Grigg, and eventually turns out he suffered a Lisfranc injury, so that's bad news because they are horrible injuries to return from. So I don't think he'll be cited anytime soon. For another example, Luke Thompson, he suffered a Lisfranc injury, and we haven't seen him all season. So, yeah, if you do have Grigg in your team, you know, it sucks because he's still got a negative break even, but cash in, move on.
Yeah, he's made 157. He's got a neg 7 break even this week. I know that because he's sitting there with me and he's got to go.
That's brutal. That's brutal. Speaking of brutal, for other people who've been very patiently holding on to Christian Welsh, hoping he would play this round. So he didn't get picked for Origin, which we thought was on the cards, but unfortunately he's been suspended for one game and he's missing this week. That's rough. Is he in your team too?
No, he's not. He's not. Yeah. I'm surprised he's got a week. The NRL handed out that many fines this week, and Welch goes and gets himself a suspension.
Yeah, so 12 other players all free to play after, you know, entering early guilty pleas, copping fines. He and Mitch Barnett were the two unlucky ones copping a suspension. So Barnett's out for 1 week as well. Yeah, that wraps us up for the injuries and suspensions. Let's dive into the team list for this round.
Steven, I like your hustle. That's why it was so hard to cut you. Congratulations, the rest of you made the team. Except you, you and you.
So this round kicks off on Friday night, starting at 8 p.m. in Townsville. It's got the Cowboys and the Panthers. Ordinarily, like this matchup last year, you would have been loving it, right? You know, top four Cowboys, top four Panthers. Not so much this year, even though the Cowboys have, you know, they've had a little bit of a mini resurgence, but these two teams have been smashed by Origin. Cowboys missing five. So Cotto, Robson, Val Holmes, Talangi, and Nanai all out for State of Origin. They do get Jason Tamalolo back from his knee surgery. Jake Granville starts at hooker. Kyle Felt's back after being 18th man last week. Zach Labert gets another run at center, filling in for Val. Sam McIntyre is a bit of the sneaky one, who was acquired from the Titans midseason. He's onto the bench. And Fini Fuaiki, I'm butchering that for sure, but he's on the bench as well. On the Panthers side, obviously, you know, Nathan Cleary still out injured. Jerome Luai, Stephen Crichton, Liam Martin, Isaiah Yeo, and Brian To'o also joining him. Not in the team this week, but those five are all playing State of Origin instead. Hosking's back on the edge, as we said. Jamin Salmon starts at 5'8". Tyron Peachy pops up again at center. And Thomas Jenkins onto the wing. We also see Matt Eisenhuth starting at lock. And Luke Garner, first appearance in first grade in the starting 17 since round four. So back on the bench there. Firstly, look, with all of these outs, I have to say, like, I'm expecting a pretty low quality game. I just think there's too many quality players out and too many, you know, inexperienced guys, fringe first graders. It's hard to see, you know, quality footy, right?
Yeah, it does. It does look like that. Interestingly enough, the Cowboys actually look slightly less decimated than the Penrith team. They almost look more like a first grade side. But we were all hoping Mitch Kenny was maybe going to start at lock, and Sonny Luke, hopefully he comes on sometime in the first half at least to spell Eisenhuth with Kenny going to lock. Look, there's not much more to say, is there, right? Yeah.
You're right. The Cowboys do look a little bit more pieced together. I mean, Lolo back is massive for them. It's hard to see how many minutes it's going to play though, right? First game off. A fairly long layoff, but they kind of need him, right? Like that bench, it's four forwards, but McIntyre might have to play some hooker. Like he played some hooker for the Titans. I don't think Jake Granville's up for playing 80 minutes at hooker this year, so he's probably going to have to spend some time there. Griffin Neem, you know, can play edge and middle, but I'm not expecting big minutes there. And the other two, I mean, Tanoa Brown's not got a massive motor, and I'm not going to try his name again, but the other forward, he's obviously a fairly fresh rookie. So, I mean, surely there's 80 minutes for Leilua, probably 80 for Lukey, or you know, at least 65 plus. Scotty Drinkwater, though, he's been on a bit of a tear. Rocketed up to a 796K. He's got a break-even of 40 still. Three-round average of 105.3. Five-round average of 89. So, look, I kind of feel like it's just too late, isn't it? And like the Panthers, sure, it's not a great team, but it's still the Panthers system, right? And they are such a well-coached, well-drilled team that I dare say a lot of these guys will come in and just do a job.
Yeah, you're right. I think we've missed the boat there with Drinkwater. And although we don't think it'll be high quality, I think it'll be low scoring as well. So, yeah, I wouldn't be jumping on Drinkwater. It's interesting. I'm very curious to see how Chad Townsend goes. He's been sort of in the media a little bit, and the whole Luke Brooks debacle going on at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see what the Chad delivers. I wouldn't be dropping anything to watch this game at 8 o'clock if you've got other plans.
The only other thing I will say, and look, I kind of feel like if you've got players in this game already, then great. I'm not going out to pick up anyone, I don't think. Look, Scott Sorensen is just, he's really hot, and he just keeps getting it done. Like, he's just been on such a tear, earned himself a 3-year extension. So well done there, Scott. And yeah, he looks fantastic on that left edge, and I dare say that might be his spot for the rest of the season. So
yeah, he's killing it. Jamin Salmon's probably not going to give him the same kind of ball Luai was, but yeah, if you've got him, keep him.
Well done. Well done, because I don't think anyone saw it, and he's almost at, he's in the high 700s now as well, so crazy, crazy times. The only thing I wanted to point out, so Tom Jenkins coming in, he's only played one game before, scored 26, I think he was playing centre. That wasn't 70 minutes because he got sin bin, so he was looking at like a 36 to 40 score, base and base attack, could have done better. He might not be the worst one and done. If you want someone just to downgrade to free up cash and not want them around afterwards, yeah, there's not many of those this week, but he's probably one of them. It's hard to see him factoring into the team as soon as obviously the other guys are back in. So yeah, if you do want a one and done guy, he's probably the one for this round. Any other names you want to throw out there? If not, we'll move on to the next game. Knights and Roosters, first game on Saturday, 3 p.m. This one's in Nui. So Tyson Frizzell, only one out for the Knights. Lockie Fitz comes back in from his injury. And as we mentioned, obviously Greg Marju dropped for Inari Tuala, of all people. On the Roosters side, they obviously are missing Teddy and also Lindsay Collins out for Origin. Looks like Matt Lodge may have been dropped potentially, although he's not in the whole team altogether, so hard to see what's happening there, but Lodge had an actual shocker of a game last week, so I think he's dropped because he really sucked. Obviously, Joey Manu hero balling it from fullback this round. Sandon Smith gets the start. I dare say he'll probably goal kick as well. Billy Smith coming back, and Nat Butcher named at prop. Satilli's on the back row, and White starting at lock. Angus Crichton just doesn't look like himself anymore. Just, yeah, unfortunately, shadow of the player he was last year or even previous seasons. Just, he can't even get a start in this Roosters team with, obviously, you know, guys injured and people out and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, you would have never thought, I'm going to butcher this. Niafu, that's not even close, but you'd think he could start at lock, right? You'd think, or even Satilli could play lock again. He didn't look too bad, and Angus on the edge. Egan Butch is not an edge to start with. Like, yeah, he's obviously not quite back yet.
It's just, yeah, it's weird. It's weird for sure. Interestingly for the Knights, so Dylan Lucas has been named to start on the edge again. So obviously this time with, I think he was on Fitzgibbon's edge last round, and obviously I imagine he might be on Frizzell's edge this round. But yeah, I mean, he was a centre at the start of the year, so now converted to back row, and seems like he's earned his spot. So it's a bit of an interesting one. I'm not suggesting you go out and buy him, but yeah, just worth noting. Look, the big name obviously is Kalen Ponga there. He's sitting at 604,000, break-even of 29. He's strummed together four games now. He's averaging 83.3 since coming back into the team after his bit of a time off and his trip to the US. And in particular, so that's four games, two of them at 5'8", and the last two, 77 and 92 since moving back to fullback. I mean, he's passing the eye test. Like, that was never in doubt. Like, Kalen looks good when he plays. It's just when he plays, right? That's all it comes down to.
Yeah, you can look at it two ways. He's played four in a row, so does that mean he's safe, or he's played
don't
four
say,
in
don't
a row?
Say it, please.
Does that mean he's one game closer? Look, I love Kalen Ponga. I've been a huge Kalen Ponga fan. He was awesome for me last year when I got him in. I'd be nervous watching him, owning him as well, because I'd just feel so bad if he goes down.
I definitely think he's an option. It's just you need to have massive stones, basically, to, you know, you're taking on board potential season ender. Like, it wasn't that much later last year where he copped, you know, his third or fourth hit to the head for this season, and then the Knights just packed him up for the year, and that was like the last 6-7 rounds. So, yeah, I think that's, as long as you're on board with that, like, he's still very reasonably priced. He's going to go up in price, and covering, you know, we know he could turn up easily, and that's obviously really precious in a buy round like this. So, Yeah, high risk, high reward for sure. The other name is obviously Joey Manu, 542,000. That's crazy cheap for someone of Manu's pedigree. Break even 86. Look, he's not in great form himself. I think let's just call it like it is. He's scored pretty all right for Supercoach, but yeah, he's stunting his team's attack. He's not the guy we saw last year where he was making magic happen whenever he touched the ball. Still, the fullback this week, the last time he played fullback was in round 13 last year. Scored 130. 110 of those points were in base and base attack, which is just off the charts. Like, that is unheard of, literally. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone doing something similar to that, let alone, you know, in the forwards or in the backs or anything like that. I think, yeah, Payne Haas might get close in the forwards. Hopgood did 100 earlier this year, but, yeah, 110 as a fullback, it's insane. I mean, do you have Manu? Are you going to pick him up or...?
I don't have Manu. I think I know we jumped on the bandwagon when he was at 5'8", thinking his scoring potential is going to be better, hands on the ball more than he did at centre. But he's almost, as you say, looked out of place. Whereas fullback it sort of clears his mind a little bit more, and it's really just run. Whereas 5'8", you've got a little bit of sort of ball playing responsibility. Whereas now with Sandon Smith there and Keary. Joey can, I'm pretty sure that game that you're talking of last year, I can still see mental images of him running across the face of the defense, just palming off 10 guys in a run and getting 10 tackle busts and then throwing in an offload. So look, if that goes back to that type of Joey, I'd love to have him this round. I'm not going to trade him in, but I'd love to have him.
Yeah, he terrifies me. I don't have him in my team either. And he's definitely on the list of my potential trade-ins. But I'm trying to juggle, you know, dwindling trades and my numbers for round 19 and all that type of stuff. So I do think there's a chance that, you know, if Sandon plays well, like Manu's back to center, right? And the way the Roosters are traveling, I just don't think, you know, Manu got it done last year playing center and roaming around, but that was a different Roosters team. And I'm just not sure that they're going to have that upside because the way they're playing. So yeah, it's a tough one. I'm undecided myself, but I'm leaning towards no one just not watching this game because I don't think I could handle it if Manu goes off. But yeah, well, the only other name I'll shout out is Junior Pauka, 265K, playing his third game, break even of 8. And, you know, he seems pretty settled on the wing. You know, great work rate, scoring well. He's getting a couple of tries here and there. Well, I think he got a try last week just off a kick. So, yeah, I mean... If you need a downgrade, a guy potentially can make some coin. He seems like at least he'll have another 2 weeks while Suoli'i is still out. But yeah, won't come around 19. And yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts on Pauka?
Yeah, he's a neg 8 break even, not 8. But look, I still don't think at this stage of the season he's going to make enough money to warrant the trade in and then trade out. As you said, if you're looking for a one and done guy, I'd maybe go save yourself 65K and get Tom Jenkins, because yeah, these teams actually look okay. I know they're decimated by Origin to some extent, but the lineups that both the Roosters and the Knights are running out, this might be a half decent game of footy.
Yeah, and I think that's why I was like, oh, do I need Joey Manu? But I do think, look, we talked about it, like the Roosters right wing used to be a gold mine, right? And it's not been this year. It was for the first few rounds, and that's when Jackson Paulo was scoring big. So if he nails that spot down, and look, we don't know, because Suoli'i might come back in and walk back onto that right wing, and yeah, Junior might be out of a spot or whatever. But I do think, like, if you've got, say, like a Jared Croker, you want to downgrade, get this guy just to free up, you know, 150, 200K and use that to upgrade someone else, like, I don't mind it. And that gives you an extra number for this week, make you a bit of cash, and maybe, you know, that's that extra 100 grand or whatever is all you need when you nuff them out to make some trades later. So not the worst idea. It's certainly not a must-have by any stretch of the imagination. Next game is the Eels and the Seagulls playing at Combat Stadium. This one's at 5:30. Obviously, Mitch Moses and Junior Bolo out for State of Origin. Josh Hodgson was a late withdrawal last round. We didn't know what happened, but it turns out he has a neck injury and he's still out now. Ryan Madison's back and named at 5'8". which is obviously a bit of a curveball there. And Ofahiki Ogden gets the start, and Ofangawi suddenly back from his calf injury. So, yeah, interesting reshuffle there for the Eels. Now, for the Seagulls, obviously missing Tommy Turbo and also Daly Cherry Evans. So only the two most important players, but, you know, they've got super backup halfback Jake Arthur in at halfback, former Eel. The revenge game is on. I mean, it's going to be weird, right? Surely Brad Arthur could coach rings around Jake Arthur. He knows his game pretty well, right?
Yeah. Or do we look at it, Jake knows the way Parramatta defend?
Yeah, it'd be an interesting one. And obviously, KO Weeks back at fullback. Unfortunately, I think plenty of us who've got Ruben Garrick wanted him to run at fullback, but turns out he goes around at right centre. So.
Yeah, he goes right at right centre when the fullback's name is Tom, not when the fullback's name is KO, I don't think.
Look, I do think he looked better. Surprisingly, you know, he seems more natural at right centre. And Tolu Kola actually looked really good at left centre, so that might be a permanent switch that Seaboard sticks with. Last little change is Samuela Fainu gets named at start again, but, you know, could be a game-day swap with Ethan Bullimore like last week. For myself, I'm hoping Fainu does get the start because he scored pretty well last time he was there playing, you know, most of the game on the edge. So, look, I think let's just talk about it. Clint Gutherson. He was my other guy that I was going to bring in aside from Greg Marju. So it really burns watching Gutho go massive. And now, you know, 677K, break even with three, and, you know, assumedly we'll goal kick this round with no Moses there. It's worth noting the Eels do have a buy in round 18, but otherwise they will cover round 16, 17, 19, and 20, which is, that's like super valuable, right, at the moment, with how tough round 17 and 20 are looking, right?
Absolutely. Round 18. No, he's not in my. Round 18 is a single by two, isn't it? They're the only
ones. They're the only team on the bye that round, so should be easily covered. How are you thinking about Gutho?
Look, he's going to have his hands on the ball, you'd think, even more this game than he has previously. Break even three. There's a lot worse players to have at fullback. He looked good last week. I've got Jareem the Dream and Turbo, so probably not going to make any trades there. But, yeah, if someone still had Latrell or something like that, I think he's a definite good trade-in for an overall player.
Well, I'm in a position where, yeah, I've got one of those centre wing dual guys there, so it'd be very easy for me to trade Jared Croker to Gutho via Asako. So pretty sure that's going to be one of my three trades this week. Like, I am a little bit worried. I think even though he might have his hands on the ball more, I do think his scoring potential will be a little bit lower just because he scored so many of his points off Moses' work, right, and off the back of good shape, which I just don't think they're going to have with Dejan Arzi. Look, he played well, but I think he's more of a 5'8 than a halfback. And Matto, I don't think Matto's passing the ball very much. I don't expect him to pass the ball very much. So...
The only thing good shape with Matto is his biceps. That's all he knows when it comes to good shape.
Absolutely. And what a shape that those biceps are, though, to be honest. But look, the minimal downside for Gutho, I think, you know, with the break even of three and a really good draw and also round 19 coverage, he's a really good option. So, and, you know, potential vice captaincy with the goal kicking and all that, like he's definitely in consideration there. I'll throw in another couple of names. I mean, Ryan Madison, would you jump straight on at 5'8"?
No, I don't like him at 5'8", to be honest. He gets his points through runs and offloads mostly. So I think 5'8", without Moses there directing him, like maybe if it was Moses there, he can put him in better positions to give some attacking upside. But I don't like Maddo at 5'8 for super coach or for...
Counterpoint, though, he does have in his last two games... Round 11, round 12, he did have tri-assists that he laid on. So, you know, he does have, I mean, he used to be a half in his junior days, right? Before he bulked up and obviously developed guns, massive, massive guns. But yeah, look, I think it's certainly risky because he's not cheap, what, 693,500, break even 101. But he's certainly looking like a genuine keeper, right? If he goes back in, you know, into his role in the forwards. Is blitzing it, right? Like, his scores 78, 62, 64. like his lowest score all year was a 59 against the Broncos. And then otherwise, yeah, everything else is 60 plus, high score of 89 for the season. So I do think, you know, with, again, that he's a Neil, so he's got that great coverage. And there's some attacking upside with obviously Cherry Evans and Turbo out this game. So I certainly don't hate it. I think it's a definite option. But, yeah, maybe if you've already got like a Gutho or, you know, some other guys, like if you don't have Gutho, I'd get him over a Matto. But if you're in the same position as yourself, right, maybe you can't trade a fullback. So maybe you just, yeah, Matto might be someone to help you cover some buy some of the buys and also present some upside for this game as well.
Yeah, you're right. Everyone was scrambling to get him at the start of the year, and he looked like, firstly, he was going to kill Hopgood, and secondly, he was going to be that gun 65-minute player in the second row. But you could do worse. You could do worse, right?
I definitely could do a lot worse. Now, I'll throw another two names out there. So Mike Acevo and also Will Pennicini. Obviously, two guys who've been pretty consistent all year. I mean, they're locked into their roles. There's Acevo sitting at 601K, break-even of 65. Pennicini, 578K, a break-even of 55. So, look, I think, you know, Pennicini, great involvement, right? Great work rate, high floor, limited ceiling because he doesn't get as much attack. Acevo, you know, leading the NRL in tries scored. But his base has gone out the window. Like, he's just not, you know, he's scoring and barely getting to 60s most weeks. Yeah. So I think both are genuine options. I'm not sure I'm going out of my way to pick one of them up, though. I don't know. How do you feel about them?
Yeah, well, firstly, Mike Acevo's got calf muscles bigger than Madison's guns, and yet he doesn't run the ball. So that sort of scares me. And do his tries dry up with Dylan Brown potentially on an extended holiday? If it were me, I'd be, as you say, not going out of the way for either. But if you wanted an Eels back, they've got a decent draw, not only in terms of actual rounds played, in terms of teams they're coming up against. So attacking players, I wouldn't be putting the line through. And Will Pennicini, he is remarkably consistent, and yeah, I like him.
I think it does depend what your, you know, priority is. I do think the Eels, they have a tough schedule over the head-to-head finals. So round 23, I mean, if most head-to-head finals, I think round 23 to 26. So 23 is all right. They're against the Dragons, but then Broncos, Roosters, and Panthers. Panthers in the head-to-head grand final. Certainly not the matchup you'd be aiming for or targeting. And then they have a round 27 bye for the overall players. So that's a bit of a dagger. So you need to bank some trades for that round if you do have some Eels there. Look, I certainly don't mind either of them. I think they're genuine options. Just depends what you can stomach. I've had Sivu in my team before. I had him last year, and his work rate just keeps dropping, and I don't know what it is, but yeah, I'm struggling a little bit to stomach that low base. So I think if it was me, I'd go for Pennicini, and yeah, but I'm the type who goes for more of the high floor guys anyway. For the Seagulls, the only name I would throw out there is Hamole Olakuatu. He's been gone pretty under the radar this year. And I think for the most part, he's been pretty solid. He did have two lower games against the Raiders and the Knights where he scored 34 and 46 playing 80 minutes still. But aside from those games, like, you take those two out, and I think, you know, I'm not trying to be selective about it, but they do seem like outliers compared to the rest of his other scores. So, you know, he's averaging over 60 and he hasn't scored that many tries or, you know, any try assists or anything like that. So I definitely don't mind him as an option. Not having DC there is not great, but yeah, I just thought, like, some people are going to want a forward to replace a Katoa or something like that. He's cheap. He's only 532,000 and his break even sitting at somewhere around the 50, 55 mark, give or take from memory. So definitely an option. Not saying he's a must have or anything like that, but throw it out there.
He's a really good own as well. I think I owned him the whole year last year. And he definitely, once DC is back, he has that try-scoring upside. He often gets in and does quite a bit of work. Whereas Sivo is a very scary watch as an own. Hamole is quite the opposite.
Yeah, good value at 532K, I reckon. So yeah, definitely some interest there. Next game is the Tigers and Storm on Saturday at 7:30. This one's at Campbelltown. Obviously, the Tigers, you know, aside from losing Appy and Brooks to injury, they do lose Stefano, who's playing State of Origin. We've got Wakeham and Toa in the halves, Kapawa and Naden into the centres, Tommy Talau's benched. New hooker is Jake Simpkin, but Talon De Silva, he's debuting. Now, there's been a huge amount of hype about this kid, and to the extent, like, Simpkin's been given the – he's pretty much been told he can find another club, right? And the reason is because of De Silva, basically. There was chat that he was going to take Simpkin's spot on the bench last week, but didn't quite happen. But, yeah, I dare say for me, like, I think this split might be a lot closer to, like, a 50-30 split than, you know, Simpkin playing 65, 70 minutes or something like that, like he did last round, obviously, because he had to. There was no other hooker on the bench. So I just throw that there as a bit of caution. Obviously, he is super cheap, and you might have Sonny Luke in your or whatever, you're trying to get rid of him. 235K, you know, break 22 break even. So the downside's pretty limited, but just, yeah, the upside might be pretty capped because he might only get 45, 50 minutes. And, you know, once Appy's fit, like, he might be out of the team because De Silva might be out playing him. So, yeah, just worth thinking about there. Again, you know, with a negative break even like that, limited downside for sure. Any other Tigers that...
I want to buy IPAP. I really do. I just keep saying he's got to have some attacking upside, but he just doesn't look like it ever. His base is still Isaiah Papali'i base, but he just doesn't look like scoring ever.
Do you think Brooks being out actually helps him?
Well, if Stafford Toa wasn't the 5'8", maybe. Surely they've got to have a young kid who can play in the halves there. But Fanua Pole, or however they want to pronounce his name, I like him. He's a busy-looking player. They've got a small bench with De Silva and Talau. I'm not going out of my way to buy Tigers players, though, especially with the no Appy, no Luke Brooks.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I just think, the upside's pretty limited. Buller's way too expensive now. You know, you well and truly missed the boat. So, yeah, the dream goes on for some, not for those who don't have him. Sorry, it's just right there. I can't help myself. On the Storm side, obviously, no Cam Munster, no Harry Grant, no Xavier Coates playing Origin. Welsh is suspended. Katoa out with his eye injury. George Jennings gets his first run for the season on the wing. Jonah Pizet comes back in at the 5'8" beside Jerome Hughes. We have Bronson Garlick starting at hooker, and given Tyron Wishart's on the bench there, I mean, they may swap or whatever, but Wishart will share minutes for sure. Interestingly, Justin Oldham is 18th man at Marion Seve, and Ramus Smith starting at centre still. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a late swap there, but who knows. Look, Nick Meaney, I think, has been really, really consistent all season, right? 685K, breaking the 75, three round average of 75. Look, it's good that Joe Fitz isn't here because he'd be telling everyone to buy him. But this self-proclaimed number one Nick Meaney super fan, I don't know if you saw online, but he's been usurped clearly because there was a little girl who she seems to be the number one super fan because she traveled just to watch Nick Meaney run out for his 100th game. Had a great sign and everything, posed with photos of Nick. Yeah, it's a really, really cute video. So, yeah, Joe Fitz, sorry, mate. You're just not the number one fan anymore. Stop trying to claim that title. I didn't see you in the crowd. Anyway, Nick Meaney, is in your team?
No, he's not. He's not. I definitely looked in this week. You're right about being consistent, so it's not like he's one that's going to get away from you if you don't go this week and you want him later. But it's a good time to bring him in. They play the Tigers. He does miss round 19, but obviously plays 17 and 20.
Any concern about Ryan Pappenhausen?
Don't mention that name. I drafted him second in one of my draft leagues and never want to talk about Ryan Pappenhausen again. But, look, I think Pappenhausen does not seem close, and so you'll at least get the bye period with Nick Meaney, probably well into round 21-ish.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much spot on there. And look, while we're swapping sad sob stories for draft, I was somehow I stupidly agreed to a draft where they did the draft while I was recording the podcast. So I missed the start because I was talking, and then I had the number one pick, and it defaulted to Ryan Pappenhausen. So the 101 went to Ryan Pappenhausen. I did end up having to grab Nick Meaney in like the third or fourth to cover that. But yeah, that hasn't been going well for me. Let's just put it that way. But I think, yeah, Ryan Pappenhausen unlikely to be back anytime soon. Like the earliest I'm expecting is like round 21, 22, 23. So he might come back and spoil some of the final rounds, but that might be even be off the bench or whatever. So I don't think, yeah, I wouldn't let Ryan Pappenhausen turn you off picking up Nick Meaney at this stage. So he's definitely a good option. Jerome Hughes is pretty cheap at 591K, break even of 32. I have to say, though, like he hasn't really looked good all season. I feel like he only had his first good game this year, and obviously coincided with his best Supercoach score of 119 this season. So is Jerome tempting you? Or, I mean, I'm locked in with I've still got Nico and Cleary, and I'm just going to stick with that.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Nico and Cleary as well. I know there'll be a fair few people who brought in Moses, not expecting him to get the sky blue or navy blue or whatever colour they're going to run out in this week. If you had Moses, there's worse people to go to than Jerome Hughes, I think. Against the Tigers, they've been sort of the punching bag of the NRL somewhat, and the Supercoach world especially. Good run towards the finals if you're head-to-head dude, but you'd like to think you're going to want Cleary and Nico Hines for those finals. So, yeah, good time to buy Jerome Hughes, but not for me.
Yeah, I do think if you've got one of the other options there, I mean, we were pretty vocal about just don't get Moses last week unless you thought he was going to go massive, massive. But, yeah, like the chances of him being picked for Origin were high, and, I mean, we were pretty vocal about that. So, yeah, look, if you got him, well done anyway, because he had a decent score, not as high as you'd hoped. But I kind of think he's going to back up, though, right, because the Eels need him to. Like, they're sitting at ninth at the moment. And, yeah, look, they've been climbing the ladder steadily, but they need to bank some more wins, I think.
Absolutely, and especially with no deal bags, it sort of emphasises that point. And, look, he's playing halfback. He's not going to make that many tackles, is he?
Oh, how many does he miss?
Yeah.
They'll pick on him for sure, though. They'll definitely go after him.
That'll be Dave's side, too. He'll be defending on the right, you'd have to think, and... Yeah, big Dave.
That'll be interesting. That'll be very interesting. But, yeah, look, I tend to think, if you've got Moses, it is an option probably just to stick with him because he's still playing well. It's tough, though. Like, round 17, he plays first game on the Saturday, so it is pretty tough. Still in Queensland, though, so it might benefit him. He only has to go to the Sunshine Coast Stadium to play the Dolphins, so... Yeah, it's a tough one. You might have to just make that call yourself. I tend to think he's going to back up, though, provided he's not injured. All right, I think let's move on to the final game, Sharks and Bulldogs. We talked about it. Look, Nico Hines, he's been dropped from the Origin team and the Sharks got flogged, but Nico's playing. So if you don't have Nico in your team, you've got to get him right. He has to be in your team this round.
Yeah, if this could be the easiest must-have or must-trade of the year of the Supercoach world. If you don't have Nico Hines, get Nico Hines.
I know, and not to throw back to last year, but I feel like when Ryan Pappenhausen was available for the final bye round last year, I feel like we all said the same thing. And Paps came out and said, scored like a 50, and Luttrell was the actual one you should have gone after because he turned up. But, yeah, look, I'm not saying that's going to happen here because I do think Nico is going to go really well against the Bulldogs, who obviously, they still have Matt Burton. That's something that we probably weren't expecting. We thought Burton might be 18th man again, but he's been dropped altogether. But they are missing, obviously, Addo Carr, so they have Braden Burns coming in. They're still missing some forwards, like no Fatala Mariner, no Luke Thompson still. And they do have Chris Patolo, who I think they're pretty keen on. I think they've already extended him for more seasons, so... Seems like they are investing some time into that. But, yeah, look, I think with the Sharks, surely there's a bounce back on the cards, right? They can't get flogged by 50 and not look a little bit better against the Bulldogs this week.
Yeah, they look, without delving deep, I'm pretty sure they're full strength. Is there anyone missing from the Sharks?
Aside from Royce Hunt, and I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, they've got middle forwards coming out of their ears, though, so they should be able to miss Royce the choice. Yeah, look, I'd go the last game on the Sunday. It'd be really exciting to have a couple of high upside Sharks going into, Sunday up against the Bulldogs.
Speaking of high upside, like Ronnie Mulitalo, he'd be one of them, maybe?
He is high upside. He spoiler alert, I definitely want to trade in a Sharks centre three-quarter. I want you to convince me who.
That's got to be Ronnie, right? He's the only one who's consistently performed all season.
He is. Jesse Ramien sort of excites me a little bit, though.
He's cheap. He's certainly cheap.
Very cheap.
And Sione Katoa is going to be super cheap soon.
He scored eight this week. He was an absolute killer last year. I remember at the time when him and Mulitalo, everyone jumped on Mulitalo probably 10 weeks ago, maybe even more than that, 12. I jumped on Katoa and he just skyrocketed past him till he did his shoulder there. But he's just not showing that this year. He doesn't look as interested. He's nowhere near the base. And
It's a weird one. Like he'd look all right. He looked all right at the start of the season, I thought, but whether he's playing with an injury or something like that, I don't know. But he definitely doesn't. He's not the Sione we saw last year, that's for sure. But look, Ramien is cheap, and I think if you can't afford Ronnie, maybe he's the guy you go with because he's got a decent floor, right? He's never really going to give you a 20 or whatever, and more often than not, he'll be high 30s, low 40s in base and base attacks. So I don't mind Ramien, and round four he went 120 against them, and I think the Dragons are waiting in round 18 for him again, so could be a decent matchup as well. They do have the round 17 bye, so that's on top of the Tigers and the Bulldogs as well. You've got to make sure you've juggling that, but that's a conversation for another time. I think Nikora, I think he's a really good option, and Ronnie, I've got both, so. Not to pump up my own team, but I'm very comfortable with those two guys. I think like Ronnie could be a top four, top five centre wing all season. I'm feeling Nikora is a top three second row forward for the rest of the year. So the Sharks have a fantastic final four rounds as well. And they've struggled against top eight teams. And looking at the draw for the rest of the season, I mean, maybe the Warriors, Panthers, Rabbitohs, every other team is either bottom eight, bottom nine, or fringe top eight. So, yeah, I think they're going to go pretty well for the rest of the season. That's my feel.
Yeah, look, I know you're in the position you've got both of them. I've actually, my two trades this week are bringing in Nikora and Mulitalo. Obviously, by thinking they're top five, top three or in their position, you obviously see them as season-long keepers.
Absolutely. If you bring them in, I'd be holding them for the rest of the year. Like I said, they have a really good final draw. I mean, round 23 is a bit tough against the Rabbitohs, but then Titans, Cowboys, Knights, Raiders, last four rounds. So good for overall, good for head-to-head, just load up on the Sharks. Because I think, they're not playing that great, but they're still getting it done for Supercoach. They're leaking heaps of points, which is that forces them to score points, right? That's what we want to see. So, yeah. Get on board. Any Bulldogs you'd go after here?
No. They look so bad. So it's like Jacob Carraz is cheap. He's still got a decent break even. So you're not going to miss him if you don't get on this week. And they have the round 17 bye as well. Am I right in saying
yes,
that?
Yes, they're one of the three teams along with the Sharks and Tigers.
Yeah, so as we said, again, a problem for another week, but I don't know if I'll be going after any Bulldogs. Jacob Preston is still killing it. So if you've got him, hold for at least this week especially. He could even be a keeper. He's averaging sort of 62 and you've got three bench spots there. So I suppose you can rotate him through that.
Yeah, I do think once Kikau's back and Preston has to move on to the right edge, that might be the killer for his value. But like he's still pretty involved, making plenty of tackles and he's always a danger to bust a line, it seems. So. Yeah, I mean, if you're holding, absolutely keep holding. Look, Matt Burton deserves a bit of a chat. Like, he's surprisingly more expensive. I didn't expect him to be 702,000, but here he is. Break even of 75. He does have a three-round average of 83.7, a five-round average of 81.2. So been really quite consistent for the last few rounds, even though the Bulldogs haven't been as good. So, yeah, look, still covers round 16 and 19. Just thought it's not for everyone, but I certainly can understand if people want to get on. I mean, he's already in 14% of teams, so surprisingly higher ownership than I expected, basically. But yeah, outside of that, Karaz, I don't think there's anyone else I'd be looking at here.
Now, I was looking for potentially maybe a front rower if someone stood out to me. And Max King, since he's come back, he's only played sort of 23 and 31 minutes or something. At the start of the season, he was averaging into the 60s.
It's so weird, right? And I know he's had that rib cartilage injury, and maybe that's what's still impacting him. But at the same time, like, his minutes keep going down. So I don't know. Maybe there's something else going on there. But yeah, he's definitely not an option at this stage. I don't think you could risk that, especially when, yeah, other forwards are obviously outperforming him, it seems. So yeah, it's a tough one for sure. All right, we've gone into the way too much detail as always. That's my fault. Sorry about that. But a quick update on our Champions Group competition. So thanks to our friends at TaylorMade, who stand for Excellence in Wall and Floor Tiles. We still have Ryan, the coach of Financial Panther, still in 11th. I think it's a slight drop from last week, I believe, but still, that's 3 weeks in a row, Ryan. Keep that one going, because it's been a tough time at the top of the Champions Group competition. We've pretty much had a revolving door of comp leaders until now, so keep that one going. And if you are still there end of season, you'll get $500 courtesy of us. If you come second or fourth in our group competition, you'll get a platinum subscription to use in 2024 for Rugby League Fantasy Pro. They've come aboard to obviously offer some prizes for those who don't win overall. And yeah, so the platinum subscription is worth about $90 each. That gives you access to all four fantasy apps, including Supercoach Pro, Fantasy Pro, DraftStars Pro, and Punter Pro. If you come 5th to 10th in our group competition, you'll get a $30 discount to use in 2024, which basically covers the cost of Supercoach Pro, or you can apply to any of their other subscription packages as well. So jump over to rugbyleaguefantasypro.com to check out what they offer and get more information on those subscriptions there. So thanks again to Adrian and the team at Rugby League Fantasy Pro for their generosity there. All right, so I feel like we went into a lot of detail, talked about plenty of players there. I don't know, has that helped with your trade selections or given you more questions to think about? Or
no, I think, look, obviously I'm not going to have anywhere near 13 players this week, and that was never the aim. But I like your confidence around Nikora and Mulatalo because, yeah, both of them seem like really good options. Whether you're playing head-to-head or overall, I think they're very good options. It's just who you trade out for them is where the question marks come. I know you're not happy with Marju after missing the bus, but I'm looking forward to seeing how what sort of score you can put on the board this week. You'll definitely go rocketing past me, but hopefully, yeah, you can sort of halve your rank again.
Yeah, it's interesting because before team list dropped, I was looking at my team going, oh, I might actually have like 15 or 16 this round. I didn't even realize I'd gotten to that number. But yeah. After this, I've still got 14 after just bringing in Gutho, so I might just sit tight on that, even though it does leave me a little bit skinny for next round. But I'll have to I might use one more trade to bring in someone who's also going to cover round 17 for me. But yeah, I mean that I've got 14, but Sonny Luke is one of those 14, so really I've only got 13 and a quarter maybe.
This could be his big minutes. We're told. We've been waiting. It's now 16 rounds in. They sent him back to New South Wales Cup to play big minutes last week. 65 minutes from Sonny Luke this week.
If he does, maybe he'll score 35. Who knows? Who knows? All right. Thanks for jumping on. You'll be back on tomorrow with Joe Fitz to chat strategy and go through captaincy and all of that good stuff. So thanks for doing that. Yeah, we'll catch you again soon. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, mate.